briefly to follow up on what they said and what happened to folks in the Bible when they met the risen Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, God's Word says God has put eternity in our hearts. So something about the way we live tells us, oh, maybe we're meant to be forever. And if that's going to happen, it's going to have to be with God if it's going to be a joyful time as opposed to destruction and despair. So to the gnawing feeling in our hearts that we're made forever for some reason, Jesus comes and directs his life to that problem. You know, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even if you die, you will live. And if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. So these ones, they have that eternal life gift, you know, helping them along the way for sure. This quest for life forever often shows itself up in culture. In the early 2000s, I think, here was a simple song. I'm going to pass these by. But the song in a big play was, I dreamed a dream. And it would be that life would be so much different and better. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. I had a dream that life would be so different than this hell I'm living. So in this play, this person's coming to the realization, my life didn't work out like I wanted it to. There's some emptiness in me that I can't solve, I can't explain. And this is a confession of a true person coming to the end of themselves. And hopefully you've had that kind of thought in your life. Oh, can my life be different than this hell I'm living? You know, this feeling of not being with God or connected with Him. And young children sometimes even express it on the playground. They cut in front of each other on the swing set and they say, that's not fair. You know, looking for something to straighten. Somebody somewhere straighten out this whole mess called the world that even, you know, the little ones feel on the playground. And so Jesus comes, knocks on the door of our heart, as Becky mentioned, and he says, you know, he's life. He's life. And the changes he made in people's lives, just want to share with you about in a minute. But this is what Paul, a follower and believer of Jesus, said about the Lord. He said, he's the image of the invisible God. If we wonder, I wonder what God's like, you know. Is he mean? Is he just kind of passive, waiting for us to turn to him? What's he like? Well, God is like Jesus. So you open your heart to him and you read his word and you say, oh, this is what you did. This is what you taught. This is how you died in my place and rose from the dead. And then Paul said, Jesus is the creator of us all. All the good things you see around you, all the people, all the little critters and so on, all made by the Lord. Jesus is the ruler of all creation. Every time your heart beats, every time life happens, he's the biggest hand in your life. Not you and I, not the people around you, not the country you live in, okay, not even your personality and your background. God, biggest one in your life, ruler over all creation. And then he has a supremacy in everything. And Paul puts a little plug in here for church. He says he's first place in the church, you know. And you think of key relationships. God compared his love for people to a spouse's love to their spouse, or a husband's love to their wife. And so if you, my dear wife, you know, if you ever say, well, she's not really that necessary, you know, look at all the flaws she has, good heavens, you know, or something negative, I mean, I would be like, what are you talking about? We're going to go at it right here. And so same with the Lord. You know, he esteems his church so highly that he would stand up and fight for her all the time. He'd fight for you all. Okay. And woe be to the person who says to the church in some manner. Okay. Woe be to that person, because the Lord is strong on their behalf. He has supremacy in everything. And so when our life continues, will we be able to say, oh, Jesus, he's my resurrection and the life? Ask you a simple question this morning. If God were to come and save you from yourself or save you from your sin, would that salvation be very mild? Kind of a mild thing, you know, kind of like a stroll, comforting stroll on a Sunday afternoon. You were good before Jesus. You just got a little bit better when you met him. Or would it be like, let's say, an average? How about an average salvation? Average resurrection from the dead, you know. Well, you were lost forever, and then God gave you the gift of heaven. Would that just be kind of an average? Oh, you know, sometimes it excites me, sometimes not. Or if you met the risen Lord, would it be a radical change? A radical change that you would be radically saved, that you were on your way to hell and you were desperate in your own life. And you even said, you know, is anybody going to save me from this hell I'm living? You know, in that story I was telling you about one of the leading characters, he spent 19 years in prison, and then he's helped by this clergyman, and he steals from the clergyman, and the clergyman forgives him, and then he goes out, and he sees this poor little boy on the street, like almost in the hood, and the little boy has one coin to his name. And this guy goes up and steals the coin from him. Okay. I mean, he can't help himself. And he finally says, oh, I am such a miserable person. And that was like the turning point. And you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, and before that died on the cross, he did it for people that desperate. Weren't looking for just a mild change. Weren't looking for like an average, just have an average life. Go on our merry way to 100 years and then drop dead, you know. But a life forever with God. Would he supply that for you? You could be the radically saved, radically changed person, even if you have a quiet demeanor like I do, and like, believe it or not, all these people do who spoke today. Gonna challenge you to do that and say, oh, Jesus, be my Lord. And help me follow you all the way to heaven. And there's an old summary of faith in Christ where you just put your faith in him. Let faith stand for F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take him. Really did cause a change in the people in the Bible, just to mention a few that were like these four. The women who came to the tomb, they ran, they were bewildered. They told the apostles, then they didn't say anything. You know, they were all just changed forever. God can do that in your soul. He really can give you life when there is no life. Mary was there. Mary Magdalene, delivered from seven major evils, seven demons. Then became a great follower of the Lord. You have sin in your life, seven major problems. Jesus can change you like he did Mary Magdalene. And then there was John. He changed John in a radical way. John, who said he was loud, he was a leader in fishing and so on, fisherman's company. He said, me and my brother James, we're the best two of Jesus' followers. We should be on the right and left hand of Jesus all the time. And occasionally you run into a person like that, you know. And Jesus had him in his apostles. And he helped John become that kind of self-centered follower to an unselfish follower who became an apostle of love. So you can, God will radically change you like he did John. And then even Apostle Paul, who really in his life, he and we should be able to identify with this, he was a crabby religious person. That's all he was. He knew his Bible. He knew what to do right and wrong all the time, and he was always worshiping God. And he was impacting nobody with the love of God. And if you could identify with that, you should know there's hope. You know, there's hope for you. There's hope for me that God can change us into a follower of him and a lover of all humanity. So, you know, he is risen. He changed lives in the Bible. He changed some lives here today that spoke. He can change your life and my life. Would you be that person, you know, in all humility? Well, I'm not what I used to be, but I know I'm radically saved. And my life won't ever be the same. And by the grace of God, I'll follow Jesus all the way to heaven. And no one or nothing will take second place. to him. Ever. Ever, ever, by the grace of God. And he helps us along when we fall. So we're going to meet with the Lord at his table, remembering he gave his life for us. He's a risen Savior. Would you put your trust 100% in him and ask him to make the big change that you and I so desperately need? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for those Bible characters that were men and women like each of us here today. And their lives were turned around by the grace of God, at your initiative, dear Jesus. And they were able to put their trust in you in spite of themselves. And you walked with them, Lord, all the way to heaven as they rejoice in you today. Might each of us do that. Lord, save us from polite religion. Save us, Lord, from crabby religion. Save us, Lord, from thinking we need minor adjustments to our very nice lifestyle. Let us see the depth of our need. Let us see the greatness of the risen Jesus who gives us joy unspeakable, full of glory and love that lasts forever. And so we come to your table, Lord. We remember you. We take your bread and cup gladly, and we put our trust in you, and help us walk with you one step at a time and follow you in the fellowship of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ all the way to heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And he invites you.